is Trevor Davis. I'm sounding the alarm. Today is August 6, 2008. And here are some very important words that Jesus tells us. Listen to this. It's recorded in Luke chapter 17. Then said he unto the disciples, "It's impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves, if your brother trespass against you, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to say, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." Now, this scripture shows a double-sided coin. There's going to be things that happen, transactions between us as we relate one to another. It's impossible, but offenses are going to come. And when they do come, we're to be forgiving. But if we harm others and do not repent, Jesus is clear. Woe unto him through whom they come. And in verse 2, it says, "It would be better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he could be cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones." It's been a very interesting year for me, this year, 2008. You know, I know that we go through the sufferings of Christ, and I want to encourage you, because we all will go through the sufferings of Jesus Christ. If we're indeed called by him, we will suffer many things. Let's take a look at what Apostle Peter had to tell us in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and following. Regarding this, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." You see, we go through trials. We go through tribulations. This is how we enter into the kingdom of God. And this is what we're about, ladies and gentlemen. It's not about religion, churchianity or Christianity, but it is of the kingdom of God, truly believing on the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and living our life, not unto our own self, our own will, our own interests, but the will of others as we submit to God and fulfill his will. We are to bless and serve others. It's not selfish, self-centered agenda in this age. And as you do that, you will suffer like the Lamb of God. We will be as little lambkins, little ones of the Lord. And what Jesus tells us through the scripture, as well as the apostles, it says we're to rejoice when we are buffeted and persecuted for his name's sake. And here Apostle Paul is saying that you go through these things, the sufferings of Christ. You are a partaker of Christ's sufferings. We will be glad in his coming. He says, "If you're reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he's evil spoken of, but on your part, he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. So if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." So we're to live a godly life. And we will suffer. We will be reproached. But we will be going through it through the same way that Jesus himself did. And that's being filled with the Holy Spirit, keeping our focus on him. And this is how we endure. And what are the sufferings of Christ? You know, Jesus was betrayed by his own people. He was rejected. Many of those that had followed him abandoned him at his hour of crucifixion, the death on the cross for our sins. They lied about him. They mistreated him. They mishandled him. They gambled over his clothes. They maligned him. They made up a phony accusation before the Roman Empire, saying that he was an enemy of Caesar. They said that he would destroy the temple of God and all this. They twisted Jesus' words, having no understanding. They harmed him. He was betrayed by a friend, a Judas. In fact, when Jesus returns, there's a prophecy in Zechariah. It says that Jesus, when they ask him about his wounds, Jesus will say, "I was wounded in the house of my friends." You know, and this is one of the sufferings of the Lord. I have gone through this personally, myself. A friend, this is Trevor. I'm going to edit a few seconds in this part of the message, giving this person that has harmed me space to repent. And I'm praying that takes place. But the purpose of the message is urgent for us all to consider. I have turned my cheek and I've gone to that one and I have asked that he would repent, and he has not and will not to this point. And I pray he does. And I've had other people that have done me harm. And you will see this is not about me. We will all go through the sufferings of Christ, betrayals, disappointments, harm at the hand of others. And we will be wounded in the house of our friends. We have to handle it properly in love. It's Zechariah 13:6 that said this scripture, "And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in your hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." I believe the problem that we encounter far too often, I've analyzed this before the Lord, why does this take place? And I believe it's the sin of familiarity. When one Christian disrespects another Christian, what they don't realize is whatever they do to the least of these, they have done unto the Lord himself. That's in Matthew chapter 25. You know, if we give a cup of cold water, or we visit the sick, or we feed the hungry, what the Lord tells us in Matthew 25:40, he says, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." So this is a word of admonition. It's two-sided. It's how you treat others, and how others have treated you. We all need to understand that whatever we do to the least of these other people, we have done unto the Lord. Would you lie to the Lord? Would you harm the Lord? Would you slander, malign? Would you want something bad to happen, which is called malice? Because whatever you do to the least of these, you've done it unto the Lord. And this sin of familiarity is one that Paul talked about. It has to do with discerning the Lord's body. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16, it really brings clarity to this issue. "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Verse 16, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more." This is so important. Listen, we're not to be living into our own thing, our own self, seeking our own agenda, seeking our own kingdom, our own corporation, using the gospel to create our own TBN or CBN or whatever entity. It is the cause of Jesus Christ, the cause of the gospel of the kingdom of God that must go forth. It is not our own individualistic life using God to see the things that we want at our own selfish, self-centered ideas and desires to see fulfilled. That's idolatry. This is the kingdom of God, to surrender to him, repent, believe on him, be changed, transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now listen, verse 16 of this chapter, 2 Corinthians 5, is telling you that they had known Christ after the flesh, but from now on, they don't know Christ after the flesh. In fact, he's saying that we don't even know any other man after the flesh. And this is where familiarity comes in, because if you're relating to people that are even, you know, Christians on a flesh level, that, you know, they're just Tom, Dick, or Harry, or Sally, Sue, or Martha, and you're disrespectful because you're familiar with their flesh, you're not realizing that what you do to them is unto the Lord himself. And this is where tragedy happens. We don't know people after the flesh. We do not sin the transgression of familiarity. But we must keep honoring people. And first of all, loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And loving our neighbor as ourself. Whatever we would want others to do unto us, we are to do unto them. These are the two great commandments that hang all the law. Ladies and gentlemen, don't harm other Christians. Because it'd be better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and to be thrown into the middle of the sea than to harm one of the least of the little ones of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel's clear as we enter into the last days, and they're upon us and they're breaking forth. Those that aren't anchored in Jesus Christ, that aren't looking for him, that are still selfish, self-seeking, will persecute the Lord's true loved ones, the innocent ones, his followers, his disciples. And Jesus said, your parents, your spouses, your children, you'll be betrayed by them, and they'll harm you. Having you given up to men, where you'll be persecuted, and some of you will be killed. When I say woe unto those that harm one of the least of these little ones. But if they do these things now in a green tree, what will it be like when the tree is dry? So I pray that you have conviction of the Holy Spirit, that you look and that you examine yourself. Are you harming others? Are you disrespectful to your spouse? Are you just relating to them because out of familiarity? Should you not treat your spouse with honor or your friends? Fear the Lord. Honor him in your relationship. This is a great sin. In Romans chapter 12, talks a lot about these things. And verse 9, I'll just read. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the needs of saints, given to hospitality. Bless those which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. So much is to be seen and to be gathered within the scriptures. And the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2. If there's therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy that you all be like-minded, having the same love, being one accord, one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is our pattern, ladies and gentlemen. This is the way that pleases the Father. Be like him. Be changed. Repent of hurting others. Repent of being selfish and full of vainglory, seeking your own thing. But be of the kingdom of God. Let the Spirit of God fill you. Let the Spirit of God and his love and his kindness be flowing through you as a river. Because there will be people seeking to repent in these coming days. And you can lead them into the way everlasting by faith in Jesus Christ.